Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to have you here as we enter the last part of this week, and let me begin with this question. How do you feel about trees? Do you like them? Did you climb them as a child? Have you ever built a treehouse or a fort between a tall trunk and strong branches? Most of the tree climbing and fort building I did as a child was rather lame, as contrasted with what can be done today. But then and now, climbing a good strong tree and sitting up there is fun, a healthy way to escape some of the pressures down below on the ground. The trees are also beautiful to look at. I grew up on the east coast of the United States, just a little north of the city of Boston in Massachusetts, and every year in the fall, the autumn colors come bursting forth from those trees. That is my favorite season. The gold, yellow, red, orange, purple, and auburn leaves are so pretty. It enhances our worship of the Creator God to look up at all those trees and see such beautiful leaves. And even when they fall down and we have to rake them up and bag them, they are still so wonderful just to look at. Well, have you ever wondered what the tree of life in the garden in Eden looked like? It is the most beautiful tree that has ever or will ever exist. And if, by your faith, rooted in Jesus Christ, you are bound for heaven, you shall eat of the tree of life forever. Revelation chapter 22, the final chapter of the Bible, says this about heaven, our eternal home. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, there it is again, friends, the tree of life. This is the symbol of eternal life. The fruit and its leaves will nourish our heavenly life. Ah, we look forward to this with great and eager anticipation. Well, that is the tree of life in Revelation 22. But we are reading about the tree of life in Genesis 3. Listen to our text, Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." I want to talk about this tree of life again in the context of how God here keeps man and woman away from it. The next verse, verse 23, reads, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden." That first word, therefore, indicates that we should turn back to verse 22. So verses 22 and 23 are well connected. Therefore, no pun intended, we better learn what the danger to the man might have been had he reached out his hand and eaten from the tree of life, living forever. This tree of life is first mentioned in Genesis 2, verse 9. Let me read that. "Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden." The tree of life is located as being in the midst of the garden. The focus is clearly on the tree of life. And why is it in the midst of the garden? Well, God put it there so Adam and Eve would know that life comes from God. God is the God of life, and the man and his wife were to focus on God. God is the source of their life. They were made to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. This tree has what Edward Young calls sacramental significance. It signifies that life comes from God. However, and this is important, please remember that at this point in the story, in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve have sinned. there was another tree in the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it bore fruit, and God forbid the man and the woman to eat. But they did eat of it, and that sin gave them a sinful nature. Adam and Eve are now living under the power of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. But look at verse 22. They are still in the garden, and that tree looms at the center of that garden. The Lord God foresees that man and woman will pursue the tree of life and eat from it, but they would eat from it in their sinful state. So, follow the logic. They live in sin, but then they eat of the tree of life. So what do they get? They get a sinful life that never ends. It is an everlasting life in everlasting death. Theirs would have been, we surmise from the perspective of God, a sinful life from which there would have been no deliverance, no rescue, and no redemption. If now they eat of the tree of life, they will live forever in a sinful state. So God graciously and God mercifully puts them out of the garden and blocks access to the tree of life. There will be a way for them to still live forever, but without their sinful nature. And we'll read about that soon. But let me make sure you capture what verse 22 describes by giving you a practical example. I will ask you this. Do you want to live forever down here on earth in this sin-sick and evil world? Are you eager to hit, say, 100 years old under these conditions? This is what we can, with good reason, call a post-Christian world. What do I mean by post-Christian? Well, this is a big discussion, but I need to be concise. By post-Christian, I mean there is widespread rejection of biblical Christianity. The values, the language, the culture, and the worldview have drastically changed, particularly in the Western world. The society that was historically based on the convictions and even ideas of biblical Christianity has vanished. The majority of people no longer practices basic Christian action. Oh yes, people may still identify themselves as Christian, wearing it like a label while doing an online poll, but these same people do not live with even basic knowledge of what the Bible says and of what God commands of us, let alone do they do what God commands. Even what I just said will cause major controversy. How dare I suggest that God does command and that we must obey? God, as the Bible reveals him, is rejected. And all over the place, there are groups of people who come together calling themselves Christians and meeting in what they say are churches, but for whom the Bible is nothing more than an ordinary book with some cool, uplifting stories and messages. Attending these quote-unquote churches leaves one with nothing more than some pop psychology to get you through the week, which really does not get you through the week. The buzz wears off fast. The content of the quote-unquote sermons or talks absolutely undermines and rejects the true meaning and purpose of the Bible. If you are paying even a minuscule amount of attention to the media that drives public discourse, then you already know how dumb all this evil and sin has made people. The sexual revolution is one example. I heard the other day that there are now 58 genders. You heard me right, 58. 5-8. When we go to fill out a survey or an application, something like that, there will never again be two options, male or female. Imagine all of the confusion this evil is causing, especially among our precious children, as gender identity is taught in the schools. And just the other day, I heard that the U.S. government is now calling mothers birthing persons. What? That's right. I told you the language has changed. And these are just some examples from the many I could name that reflect a post-Christian society. So do you want to live until the ripe old age of 100 or 105 in this? I can tell you unequivocally that I do not. Now, I am not suicidal. I wake up every day thankful for the gift of life and choosing to live. However, what I do is to eagerly await the appearing of our Lord on the clouds in the sky as he comes to rapture, that is, whisk away his genuine church from this post-Christian world. A stand with the Apostle Paul. He very much lived his life to the full. He did not have a death wish, but I agree with what he wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Amen. For the genuine Christian, to be dead, absent from the body, is to be present and at home with the Lord. And so, Lord, please take us out of this post-Christian place, or revive us, O Lord. Renew the church, revive the world as we wait for your coming. Well now, imagine if in our sinful state there was no way to be rescued from this world. Imagine that we ate of the tree of life while we were yet sinners. Now we are trapped here with nowhere to go. We'd have to live forever amidst these God-hating people and conditions. That would have been Adam and Eve's lot had not God removed them from the garden and the way to the tree of life. So no wonder God says, man might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. That is not good. God has a much better plan for how to live forever. And an early step in that plan is to remove Adam and Eve from the tree of life. Let's learn more about this tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.